My name is Michael Lopez. I'm an associate general counsel at the Rockefeller Foundation. With mainly my focus at the foundation is employment and operations. I have been an employment lawyer for about 8 years or so. I used to be a union attorney. I represented welfare funds. And the interesting part about that is that unions are unionized themselves, so I would represent union management and collective bargaining and things of that nature. So welcome, everybody. Jason?
So my name is Jason Boulette. I'm a local attorney here in Austin, Texas. I've been practicing here representing institutions and organizations since 1997. The only place that I really represent individuals is non-competes. I don't know that we're going to end up talking about non-competes, but just know I hate them. And you'll notice I have strong views about almost everything I talk about. I hate them. So if I ever sue you on one, someone has convinced me to overcome my distaste of it, and I actually think you're doing something horrible. If you see me defending one, it could just be a principle thing. But anyway, day in, day out, employment law, advising, litigation, et cetera. You know the drill. And we are going to talk about a wide range of stuff that's going to start here, but I want to kind of preface before we get into this, two very different perspectives, right? Like, so inside counsel and outside counsel, we bring a different perspective to any given problem. And so you're going to hear two different perspectives. The shared goal for most of our clients is to avoid the fight. Like, it's not win the fight, it's not have the fight. And so if at any point we're talking and you ask us a hypothetical along the lines of, well, would that really be illegal? I will chase that hypothetical. I love them. They're fantastic. They're what makes speech interesting for us. But know that usually the practical answer is you're paying someone $250,000 to $500,000 to go find out the answer to a question you probably could have avoided by not being so darn curious. So there'll be a few places where we start to hit fringe topics where we'll give you the theoretical legal answer and then the practical answer, which is you probably want to run things this way until it's too late, meaning it's already happened and now I'm in a defensive posture. I make much more creative arguments when I don't have any other choice. If I'm doing it, it hasn't happened yet, and I'm setting up a process or advising on a decision, I'm going to shoot for the one that's the least likely to create a fight. And if you ever want to know which one I'm giving you, just ask, and one of us will tell you. All right.
Yeah, and if you said, we welcome any questions at any time, so feel free to stop us. And, you know, we welcome the hypotheticals, and I'll use hypotheticals in quotes, right, because we know everybody here has organizations that are 100% compliant, have great staff, have great managers, so we welcome that as well. So, yeah, I'll start us off. So we're starting with remote work, and the reason we're starting with remote work is because this is probably the number one thing that a candidate looking at your organization is going to think about. You know, this is something that really came into prominence because of COVID. Obviously, this was something that was there before, but really it became a huge thing after COVID. So one of the main things I'm going to tell you about remote work is that it's 2025, right? You know, the pandemic happened 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, right? As people were transitioning from in-office work to remote work to potentially a hybrid work. So the recommendation here is for you to look at your current remote work policy, look at your employee handbook, and see if, like, your current practice is actually in the policy or not. You know, and you may also get some direction, right, from your leadership, right? And it's important to have those conversations now as to where they want to land, right, and the why. Because if you don't understand the why, you're not going to draft a policy, or you're not going to update a policy that makes sense for your organization. And as you can see on the slides, hopefully that's not too small on the smaller screen, but is the remote work policy or your hybrid policy or your in-office policy, what is it there for? Is it there for recruitment purposes, or is there for an in-person collaboration purpose? It is important to talk to your HR leadership, operations folks, the leadership of your organization, to really know as to what is the purpose of that. And the tips that I would give you about the creating the policy is, you know, who is eligible for remote work, and what are the parameters, right? You know, I talked about a hybrid in office, potentially fully remote, right, where somebody is at a completely different location where you are from business, but so you want to define what those parameters are, right? And then you're talking even more details about, you know,